I want to call your attention to Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. And we'll read down through about verse 15 here. He says here, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do good will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." So what I read here is obviously we are called to do the work of the Lord. We are called to do things that God has wants out of us and expects out of us. And he says, when you do these things without murmurings, do these things without disputings. And what I read there in about verse 14 more than anything is to do these things with a good attitude. Have you ever sometimes told your kids, which it was told of me, I know you're shocked about this, it was told of me plenty of times, especially when I was a young teenager, "Brock, you need an attitude adjustment. You need to go into it with a better attitude, going into an exam, going into the job, going into doing maybe a specific task or something, or mom telling you to clean your room and, you know, you don't want to do it, so you do it begrudgingly, you do it because you think you have to, you do it because you don't want to get in trouble with your parents." And now as a parent myself, just yesterday I told my daughter, "You need to have an attitude adjustment." It's funny how these things kind of come back and kind of haunt you a little bit, so to speak. But as a Christian, when we're called to do the work of the Lord, when we're called to do things, and sometimes there are things that necessarily we don't always want to do, sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. And sometimes we need to look at our spiritual self and think to ourselves, where is my attitude right now? Am I doing the work of the Lord? Am I waking up on Sunday morning energized and ready to go see those of like precious faith? Or, man, what I like to sleep in this morning. All these aches and pains are getting to me. Oh, I can't believe tomorrow's Monday and I got to go back to work and things of that nature. So what I want to do this morning is talk about our Christian attitudes in general. And I'm going to look at four concepts. And again, as my lessons traditionally do, we'll probably cut this one in half and do the first part and then do the second part at the 11 o'clock hour. But I want to look at our overall Christian attitudes. Our attitudes in anything that we do in this walk of life can make us or break us. With any relationship, with any situation that we find ourselves in, our attitudes can make or break us and that situation. And you think about it, as I just said, you know, I can look at this as, man, I got to go back to work on Monday and I got all these tasks to do and I just had a nice, you know, 3 or 4 day weekend and so on and so forth. Or I can adjust my attitude a little bit and say, man, you know, it's not the greatest job in the world, but it's a job. And it puts food on the table for my family. And I got to go in there with a good, positive attitude. I don't want anybody to break me down. I need to go into it with a good mindset. And I'm going to walk out knowing that I'm going to go home to my beautiful wife and family, have a great meal, and check and see how the kids and everyone's week is going. And so the same thing can happen with any relationship. If I go into a Bible study with someone and I have this attitude of, man, am I going to chew them up and spit them out? I'm going to really show them that baptism is needed for salvation. I'm going to really show them that this once saved, always saved thing is a bunch of hogwash. If I go into it with that attitude, guys, I've lost that person before that conversation's ever started. But if I go into that attitude thinking to myself, you know what? I'm going to go into this with a good, positive attitude. I'm going to go into it with an open and receptive heart. You know what? I hope I learn something out of this. Whether it be right or wrong, I'd like to know where that other person's coming from. Maybe I am wrong on some subjects. And if I genuinely have that mindset and genuinely have that attitude, that conversation and or that study is going to go over so much better than if I would have had this pessimistic, glass half empty kind of attitude, right? Satan, we got to understand, is in a constant state of trying to adjust our attitudes to a fashion that's only going to benefit him and only going to tear us down, right? We can read 1 Peter 5:8, which I'm sure we could quote all day. At the end of part of that, he says, "Satan is as a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour." Part of that concept is that exactly what I'm talking about this morning. He is trying to degrade you. He is trying to tear you down. He is wanting you to have a bad attitude about worship, about fellow Christians, about your job, about your family. So when you give into those things, you've got to we've all got to understand. I hate using the term you because I'm talking to myself as well. We've always got to understand that Satan is trying to put us in a position exactly where he wants us to be. And so when we do find ourselves in that concept, it's important to make sure that we have an attitude adjustment. And again, there's one concept from a everyday, you know, given person, but a proper attitude matters greatly to especially Christians, both inside this building and outside of this building. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I have walked into congregations before, especially when I was a younger teenager and younger adult. I've walked into congregations where one side was feuding with another side. One brother just had this, not even just one brother, multiple brethren had just these terrible attitudes. You could cut the tension with a knife. You felt like you were walking on eggshells, and it was a terrible setting at our home congregation of the Lord's church. Just imagine going to a family reunion or something, right? And your cousin or something that maybe you feuded with 10, 15 years ago, that tension is still there. That's a family reunion you go to, what, once a year, maybe once every couple of years? Imagine walking into a congregation of the Lord's church and having that mindset and having that eerie feeling like, don't say nothing, don't say anything bad to the wrong person because the fuse will be lit, kerosene will be poured on, and it'll be a terrible worship service. And unfortunately, I have to admit this, I've been a part of terrible, terrible worship services because of terrible, terrible attitudes. And so it can make us and it can break us. We talked about in our study this morning, why are we coming together? To exhort each other. How am I going to do that with a terrible attitude? I've got to leave personal things aside. I've got to let Brock's personal issues stay at home. And when I come here, I've got to have the realization that, you know what, Roger needs me. And I'm a hugger. I think you guys know that by now. I hope nobody gets offended by that. I'm a hugger. So I like to wrap my arms around you guys, and I like you to wrap your arms around me, and let's just embrace and hug. We haven't seen each other in a month, right? Let's see how things are going and exhorting each other the best way that we possibly can. And so this morning, the first thing what I want to talk about is our Christian attitude towards ourselves. Our Christian attitudes towards ourselves. When I think about myself, and I'm sorry if that's a little small for some of you guys to see in the back. When I think about self, what comes to mind? Several attributes, right? Maybe several characteristics. Maybe I'm selfish. Maybe I'm greedy. Maybe I only think about self. You see, the new social media thing these days, it used to be the selfie. And now people legitimately, because my niece is one of them, people are hiring photographers to take their pictures specifically so they can put them on social media. These professional pictures, you'll pay $50 to $100 to get a professional, you know, photography session just so you can put it on social media and look good, right? Ridiculous. But, I mean, it's still the selfie generation as well. Selfish, I'm greedy. Or am I kind? Am I compassionate? And Kyle talked about it this morning. Those feel-good, you know, emotions and things that get released in your brain and where you just feel good about helping other people or just being a nice person in general. What about compassion? Or maybe you're being lonely. Hey, I'm a loner, so what am I going to do about it? Maybe I'm going to get some more church members together. And that's one thing I got to admit, my wife and I got to do a much better job of as well, is just getting together with Christians more often. You know, I feel like we get so stuck in a rut, and I know jobs and family and soccer games and all that kind of stuff gets comes into play at this, but it's so important for us to get together. Right. So about a week or so ago, my wife comes to me and says, hey, do you mind if I go out with a friend? And I was like, I don't know, man. I've got these three kids and stuff. She was like, well, it's with Maria. And I was like, oh, OK, cool. get out of here. I got the kids, you know, so it's important for us to get together more often and to share life experiences with each other. I think that kind of stuff is so incredibly important. And then I have leader underlined and bold in here because that's what I aspire to be. I want to be a leader anywhere that I go. I want to lead by example. I want to lead with the things that I'm talking about and then lead by the things that I'm stating. I've got several mentors. A few of them are colonels in the Air Force that I consider to be very, very strong leaders. And I meet with them about once a quarter and just kind of feed off their leadership. I've been under terrible leaders, and I know as a young pawn, if you will, you know, that's under these leaders, it's a terrible situation to be in. But I've been under some strong leaders, and I'm encouraged to come to work. I'm encouraged to lead, to be under them, and to do the tasks that they need me to do and stuff. And so with that thought process and with that feeling, I want to be that person. I want to be that person that says, hey, guys, let's work together. Guys, let's work for the common cause of Jesus Christ. And I want to energize you guys and any gospel meeting that I'm a part of or anybody at my home congregation as well. That's what I aspire to be. So when I think about self, the thing that I'm thinking about is, am I being a good leader? Am I leading by example? Am I saying things and doing them? Or am I just saying things and sitting back and letting everyone else do them? And what about giving? We just finished the 2 Corinthians chapter 9 letter that Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth there, using Macedonia as an example. And he was trying to take up this collection for the poor, needy saints in Jerusalem. And so he's basically telling the church at Corinth, here's the Macedonians that don't have nearly what you guys have, but look at their cheerful givingness, their time, their energy, their effort, their resources. And so what kind of a Christian giver am I going to be, or am I, when I think about myself? Humility breeds an encouraging attitude. Have you ever been around somebody that's stuck up, that thinks they know everything, that their chest is puffed out, and all you got to do is ask them, and they'll tell you, yeah, I know pretty much everything. What do you want to know? You know? Have you ever been around those people, the arrogance that these people breed? I don't know about you, but after that conversation, I'm like, if I don't see that person again for a while, then that's just fine with me. But humility breeds an encouraging attitude. People want to be around humble folks. James chapter 4 and verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. So if you are down in the dumps, maybe you find yourself in the spiritual quicksand of life, maybe it's because you've not been as humble as you possibly need. Maybe you have been a little bit prideful or stuck up or stuck on self. And maybe if you expect the Lord to lift you up, we need to look at ourselves in the spiritual mirror and ask ourselves, how humble am I being towards the cause of Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12 states, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And in the Greek, that means to be reduced to a lower level of estate, or to be humble, or to be degraded. And so basically, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. If you find yourself being prideful, God's going to bring you down. God will bring you down. And it's happened probably to all of us if we're being honest within ourselves. God will definitely bring you down. And so no matter your dedication and trying, we've got to understand that we will never know it all. I get so fed up with some of these preachers and some of their podcasts and some of these video podcasts, things that they do, both in the church and outside of the church. And they talk about, well, we need to be doing everything this Bible here says to do. But then you jump on their social media, and it's completely a reverse effect of everything that they just got done talking about. Yeah, we need to be doing what the Bible has to say, but look at your social media. Look how you conduct yourself. Just having a conversation with some of these ministers of the Lord's church. And some of the elders and people that call themselves deacons, you think to yourself, my goodness, what is happening to the church? How did you get into the position that you're in? It's mind-boggling. Some of these guys that just act like they know, and gals, that act like they know everything. One of my favorite verses, and I'll tell you what, if you ever want a coming back to earth verse, this is it. Obadiah chapter 1 verse 3 and 4 states, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. And I'm reading from the Old King James this morning. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, he says, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Look at that pride. Look at that arrogance. Look at that know-it-all kind of mentality. Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, you might be up there in the clouds. And though thou set thy nest among the stars, he says, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Oh, I love that verse. And that's why when the Bible tells me, vengeance is mine, I will repay, does saith the Lord, this is a good reminder of that. Hey, all those people that are prideful, those stuck up, arrogant folks, God says, I'll bring them down. You go on living your life. You go on being who I want you to be. Let me take care of some of these other guys. I just think that verse is so powerful. Kyle mentioned this already this morning, but always be willing to give yourself over for the cause of Jesus Christ. An answer, resources, time, effort, energy. Guys, we live in a very busy world. If I would poll every single one of you guys, both young and old, middle and aged, and ask how busy you are on a scale of 1 to 10, probably most of us would say 15. We are busy, right? We work a lot of hours. We have a lot of stuff going on at home. Something's always breaking. Something is always needing to be fixed. A project is always needing to be done. Amber and I talked about this just last night because it was, you could tell, as a mom, no doubt, and she works full time as well, you know, it was, we got to get laundry done, we got to get dishes done, we got to do this, we got to do that. And so I finally sat her down and said, listen, every single time that you get a load of laundry done, there's always going to be another load to do. Every single time you get a dish clean, there's going to be two or three more put in the sink. So I want you to sit down, I want you to take a deep breath, and let's just veg. Let's just veg. That load of laundry is going to get folded, I promise. And it did. That load of laundry is going to get folded, but you just need to take a step back and take a deep breath, right? And play some games with the kids and stuff. Oh, you know, her and I talk all the time, but our kids are never going to think to themselves, man, you remember all those times mom was doing dishes and mom was folding laundry and all those times she was cleaning? You know what they're going to remember? You remember that time that mom sat down and played a game of Uno with me? Remember that one time that mom sat down and we got to play checkers or sorry or guess who and stuff like that? Those are the things that the kids are going to remember. And so I'm kind of getting off track a little bit, I know, but that's giving yourself over. That's helping your children get raised in the right way. Remember that one? You remember all those times mom sat down and opened the Bible with me and did a Bible study with me and dad got involved as well and we sang songs as a family and stuff like that? Be willing to give yourself over for the cause of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 and 23 states, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, respecting God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And so we've got to understand that when we do things and do these concepts and do our jobs, it's not to get the pat on the back for mankind. And if that's what we're doing, oh man, I got to get a good appraisal, you know. No. I mean, that's nice to have and that's nice to do, but we're doing these things because God wants us to be that kind of person. Not only for His cause, but for all mankind. And people are watching us. I cannot tell you how many times people are watching us. And so many times that things have been said to me, where people have said, man, I really appreciate your attitude. I really appreciate your mindset going into this or that or whatever the case might be. And people respect you for that. People really and truly do respect you for that. So when you think about self, all of these things we've talked about here, what's on your spiritual resume right here and right now? What is on your resume? Are you a giver? Are you a leader? Are you somebody that is kind, caring, and compassionate? Do you breed humility that brings on an encouraging attitude? Are you always willing to give yourself over for the cause of Jesus Christ? That's something that is always on the back of my mind. Is if I stood before God, many of us have probably gone through job interviews before, and you know they'll take your resume, and so they'll start asking you questions based on your resume. And if God were to have your resume right here and right now, what could He say about you as an individual? Your accomplishments, the things that you're good at, the things that your certifications or so on and so forth. What could God say about your personal resume and about your attitude towards yourself? Next, maybe, our Christian attitude towards serving other folks. So this is something that is kind of going along with what we just got done talking about. And then our lesson will for the morning, for the 10 o'clock hour, will be done after this slide here this morning. Our Christian attitude towards ourselves. There is no greater way to let your light shine before men than to teach other folks than by serving others, than by serving them. I just mentioned in my comment this morning, sometimes by your servitude towards other folks, you can do more teaching and do more positive reinforcing of a spiritual nature than any one of us can do behind this pulpit. Just by how you help people. Just by how you're there for people. It's remarkable. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another, or use it to serve each other, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What are you doing with your gifts? We all have the gift, guys. We can all, if we have our health and we have the mentality of, you know what, I want to help folks that want to be helped, we can do it. Even so, minister the same one to another, or use those gifts to serve each other. Sometimes that's just offering a compliment. Sometimes that's as easy as just saying, man, I've missed you. How have you been lately? Sometimes that's just sitting down one-on-one at dinner or something and just pouring each other's hearts out on the table, right? Putting all the cards out on the table and saying, this is what I'm struggling with. That's what I'm struggling with. I can't tell you how many times, and this happened probably about 6 months ago or so. Brother called me, and we talked for about an hour on the phone, and I talked maybe combined total of 5 minutes. All that brother need was to hear somebody, was for him to be able to vent all of his frustrations and all the things that he's currently going through, and all he needed was somebody to listen to. And by the end of that conversation, he said, man, I feel so much better now. And I hardly said a word. Sometimes that's what people need for us as well by serving them, is just giving up some time. And I know, again, especially as us parents, it's very, very difficult to do. But how good that makes you feel. And not only that, but the example that you are setting for your children. No, buddy, I can't play right now. Daddy needs to talk to somebody and help them through a really difficult time that they're going through right now. And as my kids get older, I hope that they understand that more and more, especially if I'm continuing my best to try to set that example. How the church would grow if we fully understood this concept, that this is what Christianity is all about. Again, Bible study this morning, right? We come together, those of light, precious faith, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but what? To exhort each other, to uplift each other, to encourage each other the best way that we possibly can. Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 and 28 says, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I think if I took Jesus' resume, which we have before us here in the Word of God, it would be nothing short of being a servant. Being a servant. He came not to do his own will, but who? The will of him that sent me, God the Father in heaven. What does your life resume look like? We've already kind of talked about that. I skipped on. We serve God by serving others. Colossians 3:23 states, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there is no respecter of persons. God doesn't care who you are, what your position is, what color your skin, your nationality, what language you might speak. This opportunity is free for all to take advantage of, especially of those of light, precious faith. Do it heartily as to the Lord. Do it with a good, positive, meek, humble attitude, knowing that you're doing it for the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I had a couple things that I didn't put in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm not going to look at verses 1 through 31. I'm not going to take the time to read all that this morning. But what this does is compares the church to a human body. Just like our bodies are made of many parts serving specific functions, right? The church is made up of people with different skill sets, different abilities, different characteristics. Not any two of us are the exact same in any facet of life, right? There might be similarities, but not two of us are the exact same. The church is made up with these different folks who have these different skills and have these different abilities. Some of you have better abilities than I do at talking to other people. Sometimes I might have a better ability of maybe speaking than other folks do. Some of you have the ability of song and leading in song. These pieces are not very useful alone. But when we bring these pieces combined collectively, we create something awesome. We create a beautiful family of God. And one that is caring for each other, one is there for each other, and one that is definitely striving to do what God wants and expects all of us to do. And then lastly, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Turn over there real quickly with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, looking at verses 5 and 7. It says, therefore, this is him talking to about the church at Macedonia there in verse 2. But at verse 5 he says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up before you hand bounty, your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of a covetousness. This I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according to his purpose in his heart, with his right attitude and mindset, so let him give, not grudgingly, not with a bad attitude, right? Not begrudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God wants you to have a positive mindset and positive attitude when it comes to your serving other people. This part of the lesson is yours if you're in the audience and not yet a Christian. And I want to caveat all this to say, don't ever wait for me to get done. If you feel convicted to have the prayers of the saints for you, if you feel convicted to be baptized for the remission of your sins, immediately raise your hand, immediately come forward. I'm pretty good at stopping where I left off and stopping where I'm at and picking up where I left off. And we will assist you in baptism. We will assist you in prayer. If anything I say or if anything that might be said or done that you feel convicted in any way, shape, or form, please let us know. Not only just at this time where the invitation is extended, but any time throughout the sermon. If we can help you in any way, please let us know while together we stand and sing.